any of you left to keep it?" He looked hopefully at Dorful.
"No, clay of my clay, I will not betray."
Carrot sighed. "Well, I won't force you," he grinned, "although you know I could. I could write a few extra words on your chem, tell you to be talkative." The fires rose in Dorful's eyes. "But I won't, because that would be inhumane. You haven't murdered anyone. I can't deprive you of your freedom because you haven't got any. Go on, you can go. It's not as if I don't know where you live."
"To work is to live."
"What is it golems want, Dorful? I've seen you golems walking around the streets and working all the time, but what is it you actually hope to achieve?" The slate pencil scribbled.
"Respite."
Then Dorful turned around and walked out of the building. "Damn," said Carrot, a difficult linguistic feat. He drummed his fingers on the desk, then got up abruptly, put his clothing back on, and stalked down the corridor to find Angua. She was leaning against the wall in Corporal Littlebottom's office, talking to the dwarf.
"I've sent Dorful home," said Carrot.
"Has he got one?" said Angua. "Well, back to the slaughterhouse anyway, but it's probably not a good time for a golem to be out alone, so I'm just going to stroll along after him and keep... Are you all right, Corporal Littlebottom?"
"Yes, sir," said Cherry.
"You're wearing a... Carrot's mind rebelled at the thought of what the dwarf was wearing and settled for... kilt?
"Yes, sir. A skirt, sir. A leather one, sir."
Carrot tried to find a suitable response and had to resort to... "Oh."
"I'll come with you," said Angua. "Sherry can keep an eye on the desk."
"A kilt?" said Carrot.
"Oh, well, just keep an eye on things. We won't be long, and just keep behind the desk, all right?"
"Come on," said Angua. When they were out in the fog, Carrot said, "Do you think there's something a bit odd about Littlebottom?"
"Seems like a perfectly ordinary female to me," said Angua.
"Female? He told you he was female?"
"She," Angua corrected. "This is Ankh Morpork, you know. We've got extra pronouns here."
She could smell his bewilderment. Of course, everyone knew that somewhere down under all those layers of leather and chainmail, dwarfs came in enough different types to ensure the future production of more dwarfs. But it was not a subject that dwarfs discussed, other than at those essential points in a courtship when embarrassment might otherwise arise.
"Well, I would have thought she'd have the decency to keep it to herself," Carrot said finally. "I mean, I've nothing against females. I'm pretty certain my stepmother is one. But I don't think it's very clever, you know, to go around drawing attention to the fact."
"Carrot, I think you've got something wrong with your head," said Angua.
"What?"
"I think you may have got it stuck up your bum."
"I mean, good grief, a bit of makeup and a dress, and you're acting as though she'd become Miss Va-Va-Voom and started dancing on tables down at the Skunk Club."
There were a few seconds of shocked silence while they both considered the image of a dwarfish striptease dancer. Both minds rebelled.
"Anyway," said Angua, "if people can't be themselves in Ankh Morpork, where can they?"
"There'll be trouble when the other dwarfs notice," said Carrot. "I could almost see his knees, her knees."
"Everyone's got knees."
"Perhaps, but it's asking for trouble to flaunt them. I mean, I'm used to knees. I can look at knees and think, oh yes, knees, they're just hinges in your legs. But some of the lads..."
Angua sniffed. "He turned left here. Some of the lads what?"
"Well, I don't know how they'll react, that's all.
You shouldn't have encouraged her. I mean, of course there's female dwarfs, but, I mean, they have the decency not to show it."
He heard Angua gasp. Her voice sounded rather far away when she said, "Carrot, you know, I've always respected your attitude to the citizens of Ankh Morpork."
"Yes?
I've been impressed by the way you really seem to be blind to things like shape and colour."
"Yes? And you always seem to care for people."
"Yes?
And you know that I feel considerable affection for you."
"Yes?
It's just that sometimes..."
"Yes?
I really, really, really wonder why."
Carriages were thickly parked outside Lady Selachi's mansion when Corporal Nobbs strolled up the drive. He knocked on the door. A footman opened it.
"Servants' entrance," said the footman, and made to shut the door again.
But Nobby's outstretched foot had been ready for this.
"Read these," he said, thrusting two bits of paper at him.
The first one read,
I, after hearing evidence from a number of experts, including Mrs. Slipdry, the midwife, certify that the balance of probability is that the bearer of this document